This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So the question on the table, Jeff, is there a go-to book or books that we should look for?
With regard to ancient astronauts, I highly recommend the work of Jacques Vallée, who is an astronomer and computer scientist who wrote many, many books, including Passport to Magonia, including The Invisible College. I think he has the most accurate, honest, and realistic handle on UFO phenomenon.
Right. He's almost a neighbor of yours. You probably know him fairly well, I would imagine.
Well, I've known Jacques since the 1970s, yes.
Yeah.
He's been on the Paracast a couple of times.
Yeah, we've had him on the show a couple of times. And I finally got a chance to meet my hero at the International UFO Congress last year. And, man, that was I'm not a fanboy by any stretch of the imagination, but I felt like a giggling teenager when I saw him walk into the room. You're talking to a real big Jacques Vallée fan. One of the other books that has made all my moves with me is Passport to Magonia and all the other Vallée and Keel books, actually, that I have. So
you're not a fanboy, but should I reveal what you asked me about the fact that a very well-known figure in the consumer audio field is repairing your receiver? And you made a request of what he should do?
Yeah. I have a Carver receiver, which is probably the finest integrated stereo amp and receiver ever made. And I sent it to Bob. Gene knows Bob Carver, and he sent it off to him. And I asked Gene to ask him to autograph it for me. Well, I pick and choose the people that I'm real fans of very carefully. And Jeffrey, you're one of them, man. I find myself, fairly often going back and, when I'm in a particular part of a research process, I'll invariably be opening up your wonderful encyclopedia and getting some inspiration from it. I know being there in the San Francisco area that, of course, you're close to Stanford.
Well, actually, I'm in Las Vegas.
Oh, you're in Las Vegas. Okay.
Yes. I lived in San Francisco for 30 years, but I've been in Las Vegas for the last 15.
So you actually have affordable rent, right? I mean, I had a friend of mine who lived in the Bay Area, and he was just a writer. He couldn't get anything for less than $2,500 or $3,000. He was going crazy.
Yeah. Well, you spent many years there, and SRI, Stanford Research Institute, is under Hal Puthoff and Russell Targ with the remote viewing work that was done in the 70s and into the 80s. Sandinista, one of our longtime posters at forum.theparacast.com, where you can go ahead and post your questions for our guests. He's wondering, have you been involved at all in the any sort of experiments or work regarding remote viewing? And what do you think about its efficacy? Do you think it's something that's viable? And what are your thoughts on that subject?
Absolutely. I did my first remote viewing experiment in 1976 at SRI International. And interestingly enough, I mentioned my new video series, New Thinking Aloud, about a year ago. I interviewed Dr. Elizabeth Rauscher, who was the experimenter in that particular series. And she remembered the whole thing quite vividly because I had a beautiful hit. She still talks about it in her lectures today. Now we have the International Remote Viewing Association, and there are hundreds and hundreds of people teaching themselves how to do remote viewing and how to apply it for useful purposes.
Wow, that's I think that would be one chink in the armor of your kind of conservative academia and scientific communities. You don't really hear them supporting any sort of positive results in this particular field that has proven to be uncannily accurate. Some people like Pat Price, of course, back Ingo Swann and others who obviously had sort of, I think, above average talent in this regard, had some amazing hits if you go through the literature. But one thing that I think should be stressed, and I think you would agree, that we all have that ability if we allow ourselves to follow certain protocols and do the kind of inner work that's needed to be open enough to be receptive for it. Is this something, am I making an accurate statement here? Do you think most people have the ability to remote view?
Well, there are many, many examples of people who didn't think that they had any psychic abilities whatsoever, who attempted to do remote viewing and found that they were very good at it right from the very beginning. So it seems to be a latent talent. But I think it's like all human talents. There's sort of a bell curve. Some people have it to a much greater degree than other people.
The thing I always wonder about remote viewing, and we've done shows on it, we even did a test at one time that was reasonably successful, is the level of accuracy and dependability.
It's difficult to do. I did a series of 10 interviews with Ed May, who was the head of research for the secret U.S. government program Stargate that went on for 20 years from about 1976 to 1996. And one of the points he wanted to emphasize is that in spite of the many brilliant success stories you hear about, overall, it's very difficult work. You can't expect dramatic successes all the time. They periodically, but they do not occur regularly.
Yeah, I've read it. It's almost like a 50-50 thing with people that are well trained and they show, you know, above average abilities, that it's not as reliable as you would need, let's say, for intelligence information to act upon, that sort of thing.
Well, there have been some real intelligence successes.
And, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'll give you a good baseline. My friend Marty Rosenblatt runs an organization of remote viewers. It's called the Applied Precognition Project. He'd be a great guest for you if you haven't interviewed him yet.
We have.
He's been going, as you probably know then, for about 10 years. And during that time, over thousands of trials, his remote viewers have approximately a 60% hit rate on targets where by chance alone it would be 50%. So that's been successful enough for them to make money doing things like investing in stocks and futures and placing wagers on athletic events.
Maybe Sean David Morton should take the class and improve his rate and not lose $3 million of his clients' money.
Is he in jail now, or has he just been fined?
Yeah, I haven't kept up with...
Yeah, I heard that his bail was $100, so he got out.
You know much more about his latest activities than I do.
Yeah, let's not scrape the bottom of the barrel here, Gene.
Don't bring it up again.
Well, we do have some questions, some very basic questions about the whole subject of human consciousness. And, of course, it's quite controversial. We have yet to really, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but come up with a real hard, fast, solid definition or show the operative principles that really kind of allow for human consciousness. The very fact that I can, you know, pick up a pencil is like a PK event, really. There is much controversy in this field. How do you define, first of all, human consciousness, or what would your definition be?
Well, I think it's just simply being aware, having experience.
So I think, therefore, I am.
Yeah. One might say that philosophers use the term qualia, which might be like the experience of the color blue, having a subjective life, having inner experiences.
Well, I've got a question here from William Strathman, again, who's a poster at forum.theparacast.com, where you can ask questions of our wonderful guests. He says, number one, outstanding. He's very excited that you're going to be on the program. And he's saying, could Dr. Mishlove describe current developments regarding the quote-unquote hard problem of consciousness? How do you personally interpret the evidence?
Let's hold that answer to our next segment. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
The award-winning graphic converter, the universal genius for photo editing on your Mac. Join over 1.5 million loyal users for this Swiss Army knife photo editing app. It gives you all you expect from a top-flight image editing app with tons of features, and most important, it's easy to use. Get 20% off from lemkesoft.de/gene. That's lemkesoft.de/gene. Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
A lot can happen in 6 seconds. A rodeo ride, a dramatic basketball win, and the world record holder can solve a Rubik's Cube. 6 seconds is how long it takes for an 18-wheeler traveling at a safe speed to come to a complete stop. And in those 6 seconds, that truck will travel the length of 2 football fields. So please, give them room. Never cut in front of a large truck for any reason. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
This is a life-changing message for anyone with sleep apnea who is on the go and tired of dragging around a big, bulky home CPAP device. Now there's finally a portable device that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. You can even add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. It's the Transcend Mini CPAP, and if you're one of the first 100 callers, you can try Transcend risk-free for 10 days. So call now, 1-800-441-0335. Transcend is the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It gives you the freedom to sleep in total comfort anywhere you are. Our smallest and most advanced portable design ever, Transcend is so small and so light, you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. To guarantee your 10-day in-home trial, you must be one of the first 100 callers to call minicpap.com now. 1-800-441-0335. Again, that's 1-800-441-0335.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey Guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Yes, cliffhanger time on the Paracast. Our guest, Dr. Jeffrey Mishlove, was asked a question of one of our listeners who posted at forum.theparacast.com in the question bank. Jeff, your response?
Okay, he asked about the heart problem, and the heart problem is usually couched this way. How is it possible for a physical system like the brain that is made out of atoms and molecules and neurons, none of which are conscious, how does consciousness occur? And there are several potential answers to that question. One of them is that consciousness sort of is very basic, that matter is conscious. Even down to the subatomic particles, they have a measure of consciousness. So that the assumption that physical matter has no consciousness and then somehow it magically appears is a flawed assumption, that the consciousness is already there. Another way to interpret it is that there is what's called dualism, that there's the world of matter, which is not conscious, but that there's another world, a world of spirit, and we're all conscious because we participate in, one might say, the mind of God or the larger consciousness, and that our brains don't generate consciousness, but they act like radio antennas or radio receivers receiving consciousness from this other realm. And then the conventional scientific answer is it's called promissory materialism or promissory materialism, which is someday we'll figure the problem out. We know the brain is the source and generator of consciousness, and just give us enough time and eventually we'll put all the pieces together, and it might have something to do with feedback loops in the brain.
So when a child is born, does that child tap into a specific element of consciousness and that becomes part of its being?
Well, there are different theories. I have to tell you, I don't have a final answer to all of this. I suppose we have to take into account, if you talk about when a child is born, the prospect of reincarnation, that child already has a very long history as a conscious being and may have been in other bodies. The idea of a soul that travels from body to body to body in the course of many lifetimes, sort of akin to the way a snake keeps shedding its skin and forming a new skin. It's a perfectly reasonable hypothesis, and there's quite a bit of evidence to suggest that that's how consciousness works.
For instance, we just recently had an example of a child that was born that was able to, in incredible fashion, describe very, very specific details from a past life, which were able to be ascertained to be true. So you're saying that there is enough evidence to at least legitimize some real official scientific or academic study of this instead of having be just poo-pooed by the mainstream?
Well, at the University of Virginia, the Division of Perceptual Studies, I think it's part of their School of Medicine there, they've been studying reincarnation cases now for many decades. They have a database of over 2,500 cases of young children who, as soon as they can begin to speak, start describing past lifetimes. And in roughly half of those cases, they were able to go back and do the research and document that the descriptions of the children were accurate.
Yeah, wow. Here in the Sedona area, it seems like anybody you meet that's been reincarnated was always either Caesar, Akhenaten, Nefertiti. You rarely get somebody in Sedona that says, I'm a reincarnated stable boy from medieval England or something. It's got to be some exalted. I've actually met two reincarnated Nefertitis.
There was a psychologist named Helen Wambach, now deceased, who wrote a book about past life regression therapy, and she collected all hundreds, maybe thousands of cases of people who under hypnosis remembered past lives, and she correlated the socioeconomic status of the people being described with the demographic statistics that we have from different periods in human cultural history, and she found that contrary to your example there in Sedona, which might be an unusual case, by and large, the descriptions did, in fact, match the actual demographic statistics, wow, that there were more peasants than there were royalty and so on.
Well, I was kind of being a little bit facetious there. That was kind of dry humor, but mm-hmm. I have met two reincarnated Nefertiti. That I will say.
Well, you know, it's also possible that a person might have an inkling that they were part of the retinue or entourage of a well-known person, and then their own memory, they may be confusing it.
Right, yeah, projecting onto that person that they were a servant to, let's say. Here's another question. This is from Ufology Randall up in Calgary, Alberta, longtime poster here at the Forum. In your opinion, it's a two-part question. In your opinion, can consciousness be both fundamental and emergent? And he's wondering why or why not.
Well, what an interesting question. You know, my first thought was, no, it's got to be one or the other. But frankly, I suspect it's far more complex than we conceive of, or maybe even that we can conceive of. And so the idea that both A and not A can exist simultaneously is probably a pretty good way to look at it.
Yeah,
because we have to be open to paradoxes.
I'll say, especially dealing with these subject matters. If you're not, you don't have a prayer, I think. His follow-up question is a real good one too. In your opinion, is consciousness a prerequisite for a worldview? And his example is: could an AI without consciousness have a worldview?
Now, isn't that interesting? In theory, you know, it's possible for computers to perform very, very sophisticated tasks, for example, language translation,
right,
and not be at all conscious. So I suppose one could say, yes, maybe they can even form a worldview. You might say a computer has a worldview, and let's assume for the moment computers are not conscious. There are people who talk about what they call a singularity, which is the day when computers become conscious, because at that point in time, computers will be approximately as complex as the human brain, and then they believe that's when consciousness will emerge in computers. But maybe you don't need to be fully conscious to have a worldview.
Well, yeah, it's a good question. Randall generally comes up with some good ones.
Yeah. We'll get into more consciousness or lack of consciousness and lots of other stuff with Dr. Jeffrey Mishlove coming up on the show. Reminder to please go to plus.theparacast.com to check out our premium subscription plan with Gene and Chris in
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you.
people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Yes, Chris is trying to whisper, and that whisper was in the 19th dimension. Okay, that's with the character from the comics that you have to say his name backwards to get rid of him. Seriously speaking here, talking about consciousness, Jeff, I guess we go into life and death, all right?
Okay.
Right. So when a person dies, does that mean their consciousness is freed from being tethered to this particular physical being and then it goes elsewhere or what?
Well, there are different perspectives on life after death. There are some very, very sophisticated and detailed and complex descriptions that go back 150 years to the work of Alan Kardec, a French researcher who began interviewing mediums and transcribing what they had to say and looking at when different mediums, spiritualist mediums, would agree with each other or not. And these teachings often are in accord with similar teachings from yoga philosophy and Tibetan Buddhism, where they describe different realms in the afterlife. Some realms are very close to the earth plane, and living there might be almost identical to living on earth. Other realms are such that you no longer need even an astral body. You become a pure energy being or a pure being of light and travel into realms that are unintelligible or almost unimaginable from our human perspective.
Now, the point raised here is when a person dies, are they aware they're going anywhere, or do they just wake up and they are accustomed to the new state of affairs, whatever it is?
Well, I think it depends a lot on the individual. You may recall when George Harrison died, the Beatle, the famous Beatle, he died, as I recall, almost 20 years ago now. And at that time, it was his goal to die consciously. He tried very hard to be conscious at the moment of his death so that he could experience the whole thing sort of wide awake. That's a goal of many people who are involved in yoga practices and meditation, for example. But the average person, you know, we're going to die in many different ways. Sometimes it's an accidental death and it's very sudden and we're unprepared for it. And there are accounts of people who don't know that they're dead when that happens. They find themselves in a very strange place. And oftentimes they need to be guided to move on to some sense of spiritual evolution. There are other people, according to the folklore, who when they die, they still have very strong attachments and habits, even addictions to alcohol, tobacco, nicotine, and sex, for example. So they hang around the earth plane trying to maybe possess other people so that they can experience the pleasures that they were used to when they had a body.
Well, that's a great way to dovetail into a whole new series of conversations here, and that is the whole idea of ghosts and haunted sites. We're seeing a tremendous upswing in the last few years of interest in this subject with all the many ridiculous, actually, in my interpretation, or my opinion, ghost shows and ghost hunting shows. But what about haunted sites? What about reoccurring the spectral images that people report? What do we know about that, and is there any way to explain how this is possible other than the explanation that you just gave? How can they be manifest at one moment and then gone the next? Is it purely on the receiving end? Is it people that are in the right place at the right time to experience this? Or are we dealing with something that's operating totally autonomously on its own schedule?
Well, the Society for Psychical Research that was founded in 1882 in London began to explore these experiences of ghosts and apparitions and hauntings. They had very rigorous methodologies, and one of the early publications in this area was called Apparitions of the Living, in which they pointed out that there are many, many cases where people experience ghost-like apparitions, but they're not of people who are deceased. They're of people who are alive, and very often those people were attempting to project their consciousness to another location. They might have been asleep having a dream about being in another location, and people saw their apparition, or they may have been attempting to do it consciously, particularly people engaged in yoga practice seem to be able to cultivate that ability. So there's a large lore about these apparitions. Sometimes they're seen by multiple people at the same time. Sometimes they're seen by one person in a room and not by other people who are in the same room. So it like so much in the field of parapsychology, there are many paradoxes and controversies, but I would say one thing that's been established unequivocally is that apparitions of the living do indeed occur.
Well, that's interesting. I've never really even thought about that. I didn't even know there was a kind of an area of parapsychology that studied that. That's news to me. That's very interesting. Having been to some of the most haunted sites in North America, dragged along kicking and screaming in the beginning, I might add, I went into it very skeptical and thought it was actually kind of dumb. And, you know, I couldn't believe the owner of the video company I was working for was into that sort of thing. And having visited some very, as I come to find out, having been to some of the more notorious haunted sites in North America, I did walk away from those experiences with a newfound respect for the subject. An example would be the Manteno State Asylum, which is where we first, it was the first of the super hospitals where we developed Thorazine, first did lobotomies, electroshock therapy, hydrotherapy techniques, I think were introduced from that facility. I have never felt, only one other time have I felt the level of unease in that particular facility. It was almost like a condensed ghost soup. They had demolished 1,100 and some odd buildings, and only a number of them were left. And it really did feel like all the hangers-on spirit entities were all compressed into one space. It was very, very disconcerting. Are there any haunted sites that you're aware of that you feel are, have real legitimate evidence to support claims of hauntings?
Well, one of the areas that's particularly interesting to parapsychologists and psychical researchers are poltergeist cases, which are quite similar to hauntings. Typically, they say a poltergeist follows an individual around, whereas a haunting is located to a particular place, a particular building, for example. But they overlap quite a bit, and parapsychologists often like to be on the scene to observe the strange, what's called recurring spontaneous psychokinetic activities associated with poltergeists and hauntings when they can. And there's probably in the literature well over 100 well-documented cases of unusual phenomenon being observed at these sites.
Yeah. Do you have any particular favorites?
Well, for example, I think they're coming out with a new movie about what's called the Enfield poltergeist. It got a lot of attention about 20, 30 years ago in England.
Yeah. Let's pursue that particular poltergeist phenomenon in our next segment, okay? We have Dr. Jeffrey Mishlove with Gene, who has no doctorates or degrees. And Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Blockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. Blockitpocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at Blockitpocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Are the answers to your present and future hidden in your past? Akashic readings help you learn to unlock the answers for love, finances, weight loss, self-esteem, confusion, grief and loss, and more. Akashic email readings by Dr. Kelly Maroon, PhD, are specially priced right now. Learn more at Dr. Kelly Maroon's website, AkashicUniversal.com, spelled AkashicUniversal.com. Change your life today. Become one with your true path with intention on purpose. Visit AkashicUniversal.com.
Has neck, back, or shoulder pain got you down? Go to sunshine-pillows.com and get soothing comfort, support, and pain relief fast. Their microwavable heat therapy pillows and wraps treat neck and shoulder pain, reduce stress, and relax the soul. An ergonomic pillow from Sunshine Pillow supports your head and neck on long trips or when simply resting at home. Be good to yourself. Visit sunshine-pillows.com. Sunshine-pillows.com.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 pain relief hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, so you're talking about a specific poltergeist episode or series of episodes, Jeff. Would you explain?
Well, the Enfield poltergeist is one of the most dramatic on record. It was researched extensively by my friend Guy Lyon Playfair in England, who has written about it. The case went on for several years, and it included, in the course of the investigation, a wide, wide range of paranormal phenomena, including people being thrown around the room, objects being levitated, objects materializing and dematerializing, voices appearing out of nowhere in the middle of the room. The family who was living in this house was in, I guess they felt practically tortured by these phenomena. And as I say, they were ongoing for years before they eventually subsided. And researchers were on the scene almost continually.
Of course, Hollywood is going to have their way with that particular.
Yeah, you know, when it gets time to be made into a movie, the people from Hollywood are interested in one thing, which is maximizing their ticket sales. So they're not trying to tell the story the way a researcher would attempt to tell it.
Yeah, unfortunately.
They're trying to tell it in a way that the people will come in and pay for tickets.
That's the business that they're in, yeah.
Yeah, it's called the entertainment complex.
Yeah.
Well, we do have quite a bit of interest, obviously, on the show in the subject of ufology and UFOs, or UAPs, I think is the now term du jour, unexplained aerial phenomenon, or Ray Stanford's term, anomalous aerial objects, AAO. Before we get into that subject, you know, I've always been taken by the fact that you included Ray and his twin brother Rex in your book, Roots of Consciousness. It's where I first really found out about Ray and his brother. And since then, Ray has become a very good friend of mine. In fact, I've written a biography about his ufological life. What do you think of people like a Ray Stanford, who has what appear to be special abilities, and he's an identical twin, And his identical twin doesn't appear to have those abilities, yet is so intrigued, I think, by his brother's abilities that he goes on and has a fascination for parapsychology. Did you get a chance to meet Ray back then, or have you kept in touch with him over the years?
In fact, back in 1973, I sponsored a conference on parapsychology at Berkeley in which both Ray and Rex Stanford attended and were speakers at the time. But I haven't kept up with them since that time. It's been a long, long time since I've had any contact with either of these two. Yeah. Subsequently, I wrote a book myself called The PK Man about an individual who had unusual psychokinetic abilities and believed that those abilities occurred by virtue of a connection he had with alien entities he called the space intelligences.
Give us kind of a thumbnail sketch. So who is this person? What were some of the...
Yeah, his name is Ted Owens, and for people who view my video series at newthinkingaloud.com, that's spelled A-L-L-O-W-E-D, I've done about five or six interviews about the case of the PK Man. It's quite elaborate. I studied him for over a decade, and amongst many other demonstrations of psychokinetic abilities or his connection with alien entities, he produced UFO sightings, and he did that for me. I asked him because I saw in the files that there were many such cases, and I tried to set up a controlled experiment where he was going to produce some dramatic UFO sightings in the San Francisco area. We used the San Diego area, a comparable metropolitan area, as a control group to see if are these occurring anyway all the time, everywhere. We got very dramatic sightings in San Francisco. At one point, Ted Owens called me up and he said, "It's going to happen. I can feel it. It's going to be in a couple of days. There's going to be a UFO. It will be seen by hundreds of people. It will be photographed, and the photograph will be published on the front page of one of your local newspapers." Well, that's exactly what happened 3 days later. And not only was it photographed, it was videotaped. And the videotape was shown on Channel 9 Evening News in San Francisco. I still have the videotape. And furthermore, it was seen not only by hundreds of people on the ground who were outdoors looking at an exhibit of aerial artwork over the campus of the Sonoma State University, about 50 miles from San Francisco. The whole art
department. Yeah, the party crasher.
was out there, but there was a pilot in the air, an artist named Stephen Pileski, who had an airplane 3,000 feet above the campus with smoke shooting out the back, and this unidentified flying object just was right there in his airspace, hovering around him, lozenge-shaped, about 30 feet across. So it was seen simultaneously from the air and the ground, photographed and videotaped, probably one of the best attested UFO sightings in history, and the whole thing had been very explicitly predicted for me by Ted Owens, the PK Man. Not only predicted, he claimed he caused it.
You know, it's very interesting when you mention Ted Owens, because my only remembrance of that name is someone who was really, really considered controversial, but I looked up his history, and one of the early people who wrote about him was Otto Binder, the comic book writer, science fiction writer, and UFO writer, if you remember him.
What was the time frame? What was this time period, this 10-year time period?
I researched Ted Owens starting in 1976 until his death in 1987.
Wow. So where do you come down on the whole UFO question? Number one, it sounds like you have a sense that this is a real phenomenon. What are your theories, or what do you think is operative here? Are we dealing with with actual, interstellar traveling beings from other star systems? Are we dealing with some sort of manifestation, collective manifestation, let's say, on the part of humans? Or are we dealing with other tenants in, on?
Well, it might be a multiple phenomena for all we know. But as I mentioned earlier, I'm very partial to the theories of Jacques Vallée, who suggests that there are entities. They may be entities in different realms of consciousness or realms of hyperspace. It may not be that they actually come from other planets, but it seems they've been around for a long time and have been attempting to manipulate the human species in different ways by operating at an almost subconscious level. Ted Owens, who had enormous abilities and did 168 demonstrations in my files, claimed that he was the first person they found who had this level of power since Moses. So he's suggesting that, the same entities responsible for the 10 plagues in Egypt some 3,000 years ago were the ones that are working with him.
Wow, that's a pretty exalted company to place yourself in.
Well, you might say so. People who are conventionally religious think of Moses as a spiritual hero, but if you read the Bible literally, there are descriptions of Moses and the various miracles attributed to him and some of the other actions that he engaged in, including killing thousands of people for the great sin of worshiping the golden calf, that make him much less than a spiritual hero to me. But maybe we're getting a bit off topic here.
Well, that's all right. He was probably the head of a rival cattle cult sect, as his brother Aaron was, which is one of my theories. Of course, King James made sure that all references to the bull and cow worship were excised from the Bible in the early 1600s. But again, we do digress. An interesting theory that I've always felt had some real resonance attached to it, of course, with James Lovelock's Gaian theory, the theory of Gaia, which has now, I think, been kind of spiffed up, and they now call it Earth System Science.
Let's talk about Earth Systems Science, or whatever you want to call it. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.
Diabetes is at war with your circulatory system. Fight back with Cardivite. Cardivite is a dietary supplement containing powerful herbs for circulation and healthy cardiac function. Improve your energy, stamina, and mental acuity. Reduce swelling, cold hands, and risk of amputation. Get your blood flowing with Cardivite. This 5-star rated product was developed by a diabetic pharmacist and is available online at www.getbloodflowing.com. That's www.getbloodflowing.com.